This guy's nails in the 18th green every time. Joe Fisher, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. What's happening this morning, Joe?
I'm great. That was a pretty confident putt on 18 by Mickelson, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And it shows you, you know, I think had he lost that tournament, there would have been some nagging questions going into Augusta.
Good I know grief. Next week Augusta is still like 6 weeks away.
I understand that, but they're, you know, this is what they're preparing themselves for, and I think that that's not the kind of way you want to close a tournament, especially when Mickelson has never lost when leading by four shots going into Sunday.
Right.
Well, Commodores not too good a start at Kentucky, Joe.
You mean Florida?
Florida. You can't get yourself in that kind of a hole and expect to win.
No, you go. You score the first basket of the game, and then go almost 8 minutes until you score again. You're probably going to be in trouble, and that's kind of what happened. And Florida has just this season had Vanderbilt's number. They passed the ball extremely well. They shot 60% from the field in both games. And again, it was not just a Calathes night beating you. It was everybody. In this particular instance, you know, Dan Warner hit a couple of shots early, a couple of threes that kind of got them off and running. You know, in Nashville, it was Chandler Parsons. In that game, it was Dan Warner. And then Irving Walker, the 5'8 freshman out of Brooklyn, comes off the bench for the second time against Vanderbilt. He scores 17. And the Commodores never really, you know, had a chance. They made a nice little run early in the second half and got a 25-point lead down to 54-41 and seemed to have a little bit of a momentum turn going on, and then Florida answered with back-to-back three-pointers.
Well, Lance Colborne was wide open underneath. He got the pass, but he kind of fumbled the catch and missed the shot.
Yep.
And then you're right, they went down and hit two quick threes, and Vanderbilt was back in the hole.
Yeah, we had some difficulty hanging onto the ball. There were several instances in that game where I thought good passes were thrown inside, and whether it be Lance or Jeff Taylor or Festus or whoever, just couldn't catch it cleanly. And if they had, they would have had wide open looks. So, you know, it was certainly a frustrating trip. Now they're going to turn right back around and go on the road again to play down in Athens. Against a Georgia team that, you know, you don't really quite know what you're going to get. You know, one day they have a lot of difficulty, then the next day they beat a Florida. So it won't be an easy trip, and the Commodores are still looking for a win on the road.
And then the next home game will be Saturday for South Carolina.
That's right, which is always a tough one here, and Carolina's still with a lot to play for. They come off a nice win over Arkansas over the weekend. So, you know, they're thinking they still have a chance to win the Eastern Division.
Well, Joe, I joked during the update that Ole Miss might think the award for best picture would go to the replay monitor yesterday in Oxford, which showed that Vanderbilt did not get a game-tying shot away in time, and Ole Miss survives with the upset against Vanderbilt's women's team.
Yeah, I don't think there was any doubt they got the call right. You know, unfortunately, Jency Rhodes' shot was just a little bit after the buzzer, and you know, it was kind of the same thing, guys. In that second half, Ole Miss comes out of the locker room. They go on an 11-0 run to open the second half and sort of take command of the game. Well, Vanderbilt answers with an 11-2 run of their own, and then the rest of the way it's back and forth. But, you know, the most frustrating part has to be, I would think, for Melanie and for the team is, you know, if you're an athlete, you like to be in a situation where you know you have your destiny in your hands. You know, where you can decide whether or not you win a championship. And that's where Vanderbilt was. If they had won their last two remaining games, they would have clinched the SEC regular season championship, regardless of what anybody else did. You know, now they're going to face a situation where they're going to have to try to do it with some help. They're going to have to go on the road and win in Knoxville, and they're going to have to get an Auburn loss, you know, in their last game. So that's got to be part of the biggest frustration for them.
And baseball got the season underway this weekend out on the West Coast. Had a rainout yesterday.
Yeah, they shuffled the schedule around because I think the weather forecasters out there knew that, you know, 4 or 5 inches of rain was supposed to come in yesterday. And so they actually ended up playing a doubleheader on Saturday. Ended up playing three games against Stanford instead of two. And this is one of those where if you look at the glass as half empty, you're very frustrated because you go out there and you have the lead late in two games that you end up losing. You had a 5-0 lead, lose 6-5, had a 4-2 lead, lose 6-5 to Stanford, who's ranked number 5 in the nation. I guess if the glass is half full, it's that you've taken a young team out there and you've played them basically even on their diamond, you know, right off the bat with a bunch of young guys making their first trip. So, you know, hopefully things will improve. I think the relief pitching left a little to be desired, and certainly the defense did. The game they lost yesterday in the second game of the double, or 2 days ago in the second game of the doubleheader, they gave up 3 unearned runs in the 8th inning on 2 errors and ended up losing 6-5. So that's an area that's got to be shored up.
Hey, Joe, thanks as always. Coach's show coming up tonight at 6:30.
See you tonight from the Commodore Grill.